Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. Appreciate you being with us in the Sunday School Hour. We are the season that we look at the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, what our faith is based on. And what I want to do this morning is it'll be a different lesson probably than you've ever heard. Because I want to just look at some events during, prior and during the crucifixion. And just call your attention to a few things as we do that. We will begin in the book of Matthew. And we'll be in Matthew and Luke and John. We're going to be all over the place this morning, Lord willing, as we study together. Ask you to bow with us in a word of prayer. And then we'll turn to the Matthew chapter number 26. Lord, again, we come to you as we do each and every Sunday, but not only Sunday, but each and every day. We come to you with thankful hearts. And Lord, I thank you so much that when you saved us by your marvelous grace, you granted us an opportunity to have the precious Holy Spirit to live within us. That gives us all the truth and understanding about you as we live our lives daily, as we study your precious word, and as you deal with us as we travel through life's journey. And Lord, you by it help us to see just how marvelous and great you are, and just how undeserving that we are as individuals. Lord, we thank you for the love that's been expressed to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you gave as a sacrifice for our sins. Through trusting in you, we might have eternal life. Lord, I thank you for each one who's gathered, each one who's listening today. Ask now that your Holy Spirit would guide and direct. Lord, take me out of the picture and help me to speak your precious word. May we learn and be strengthened. And Lord, be more willing to carry the torch than ever before. Bless this time together now. Keep us humble that you might be exalted. This we ask in the name of Christ, our precious Lord and Savior. Amen. Matthew. Now, we'll read these few verses, and we're going to go all the way into when Christ said, "Now it's accomplished." Some things I want us to look at and think about as we travel through this journey. Something that I want you keep in mind right to start with. I didn't know how I was going to introduce this, but when we have a loved one that's dying, and we know that it's time for the Lord to call them home, what do we do as a family, as brothers and sisters in Christ? What do? We give support, right? Sometime, if Lord willing, I might mention to you that those last days with Francis, and what I witnessed. in the last days. But we try to support one another as family, as brothers and sisters in Christ. So now, I want you to keep that thought in mind for just a moment. And now I want us to think about Christ. How long has God known that it would come to the point that at this time that we celebrate, that His Son would die on our behalf? Glorify Thou me with the glory we had before the foundation of the world was. So Christ, before the foundation of the world, before anything was ever created, before you and I were ever in the picture, God knew that this day was coming. Christ knew that this day was coming. But what I want us to look at as we begin to study this morning is a few words that Christ said at the crucifixion. So begin with me now, if you will, in Matthew chapter number 26, verse number 26. Well, 36, I'm sorry. Then cometh Jesus with them to a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Now, notice Christ knows what's fixing to take place. And He's fixing to pray this prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. And when He goes, does He go by Himself? See, He brings companionship with Him. He brings those disciples that He loves and that He has been with during His ministry. So He goes not alone. Remember, He is in flesh like we are. So He brings them with Him. And He says that He took with Him Peter and two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said He unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And He went a little farther and fell on His face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou will. And He cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, when Christ comes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and when He separates Him a little ways from the disciples, who does He pray to? He said, O Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. So now He and the Father are in communion together, right? Now, what does Christ know and what does the Father know at this point? I asked you the question about a loved one that you know is fixing to pass. Who knows this? Christ knows it, and the Father knows it. So they are now together. I'm trying to set a pattern now. I want you to notice this. Now, notice in verse number 23. Now, in 39, Christ says, not my will, not as I will, but as I will. And in verse number 53, he says, thinkest thou not that I cannot now? When? Now, right now. He said, right now I can do what? I can pray to my Father, and he, my Father, shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels. So could he require help? Yeah, it says he could. Would God grant that help? Yeah, he said he would. He said, I could do this, and he would. But now, verse number 54 starts with the word but, right? But what? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it, what? Must be. I could call the Father. And the Father would do what? He would give the request. But then the scriptures wouldn't be fulfilled, and you and I would have been up the creek without a paddle. Now let's look for just a moment at the 27th chapter, and we get into the crucifixion of Christ. In verse number 45 of chapter number 27. Christ has been crucified, and they've been making fun of him and doing all those things that they do, or that they did, excuse me. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. Now, if you and I could comprehend what went on during that time, it would be unimaginable. Let me run you over to, well, we'll do that. Just let's do a little bit farther before we do this. He said there was darkness from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. What Christ went through there, I think that God Almighty did not even want human eyes to be able to see it or comprehend it. Because from that sixth hour, all the suffering and pain had been tremendous during, I think, it started at 9 o'clock on the crucifixion started, we say, somewhere around 9 o'clock, and then it, our time, and then we look at 12 o'clock would have been what would have been their 6 hour, and then 3 o'clock would have been what we call our ninth hour. So it's been a long, brutal time with Christ, but those last 3 hours were terrible. And he said, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, and what did he say? I want you to pay attention to this now. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, what did I ask you when we started today? I asked you if we had a loved one that we knew would pass in. What do we generally do if we know it? You know, we have a lot of sudden accidents and we don't have that opportunity. But we also have many times we do have that opportunity. And we're there in support. Now, at this point on Calvary, when Jesus Christ is taking all the sin debt of all the world, who's with him? Where has he got his support? Since the beginning, since the foundation of the world. He and the Father are as one. And now he's hanging on the cross. He's fixing to die. His last breath are coming shortly. And he says what? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Who was with Christ when he died? Who was there to support him when he died? He suffered for you and I alone. And even the Father had separated himself from him for a while. No support. And Satan and all the demons of hell raging against him. Because of you and my sins. He's not done a thing to deserve any of this. But he's taken this because he loves you and I. Hard to comprehend. But it's true. Now, I want you to look at something in Psalm 20, chapter number 22. Chapter number 22 and verse number 1. As it begins, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou? I want you to listen to these words. I want you to let these words sink in. Why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? From the words of my ruin. Oh my God, I cried in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and I am not silent. Now I looked at that, and a thought came to my mind. And we've just read a while ago that what happened at the sixth hour? Darkness, right? Now, look at this verse for just a moment with me. I'm not saying this is what it represents, but this is what came to my mind as I looked at that. Now, he's there by himself, and he's in total darkness. Now, at 9 o'clock until what we knew as 12 o'clock, it was light, and he was being nailed to the cross and his suffering began, but nothing like it was from the sixth to the ninth hour. And here he said, I cried when? In daylight. And thou hearest me not. And in the night what? Season. What do we think about when we think about a season? We think about a time, don't we? So that's 3 hours of darkness. That night season, I'm not silent. But then it says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel. Look at verse number 7. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out their lips and they shake their heads saying, he trusted on the Lord that he deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God, from my mother's belly. God made flesh in the womb of Mary. He said, "Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help." What's he saying? There's none to help. I'm totally on my own, so to speak. There is nobody, there is nothing, can do anything about what's taking place. This is the will of God the Father, and this is the will of me as God's Son, that I will be the sacrifice. Now, we've just read where he said he could have prayed to the Father and he'd do what? He said he'd send 12 legions of angels. If you notice that, he says, and more. But he said, then the scriptures couldn't be fulfilled. So what's he saying? He says, I'm in a position that nobody can help me because I've got to do this that the scriptures might be fulfilled. He said, and many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gap upon me with their mouths as a raven and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, and is melted in the midst of my bowels. And if you look back and read what a person goes through when they're crucified, you could understand this even more clearly. My strength is dried up like a potter's shoe, and my tongue is cleaved to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, and the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They parted my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Verse number 19 starts with the word what? Now what's his request? But be not thou far from me. Who? O Lord. O my strength. Hasten thee to help me. Now, I want you to look at this next verse for just a moment. He said, deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dogs. Save me from the lion's mouth. For thou hast heard me from the horn of the unicorn. And he says, and I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation. Will I praise thee? Now I want you to notice something in this verse that I've just read to you. He said, deliver not my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dogs. This must be. You have the ability, Father, to deliver me from this. But this must be. He says, may save me from the mouth, from the lion's mouth. For thou hast heard me from the horn of the unicorn. Then I want you to notice in verse number 22, I will. What tense is will? See, we're looking at a future tense. What's he saying in this verse? He said, Father, you're going to deliver me. I know you are. He said, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation. Will I praise thee? Yes, he is now by himself. He is alone on Calvary. And he is taking your and my sins. But he says, I know the outcome. I know the only one can help me. Now, I want you to notice he said, deliver my soul. Remember, Christ is in what? He's in a fleshly body like you and I. And he has a soul. He said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. We have a body, soul, and spirit. Keep that thought in mind. 27th chapter of the book of Matthew, and we look at verse number 50. And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he did what? He yielded up the ghost. If he hadn't yielded up the ghost, what would have happened? He wouldn't have died. And then it says, behold, the veil was rent. And there's a whole other message in this, and I might come back to it one day. So the veil was rent from top to the bottom. The earthquake and the rocks went and the graves opened and all those things. So we find that Christ, look over in John. I want to read another account of this in John, and then we're going to come back to something else. In John chapter number 19, let's get another view of this in verse 28 and verse number 30 of number 19. And this is the end of his crucifixion when death is coming. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now what? Accomplished, verse number 28 of John 19. And that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar. They filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is what? Finished. He bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost. He has now paid you and my debt. And we are now, through a trust in our Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrificial work on Calvary's tree, set free from the debt of sin and hell. It's accomplished. It's finished. These scriptures have been fulfilled. I want you to look with me at Luke, 16th chapter, familiar scripture. I don't think there's any of us in here that knows exactly what happens when an individual dies. We've never experienced that. We won't know until we experience that. But we see some things in God's Word, in reference to that. So if we look at the 16th chapter and you remember a beggar and a rich man, we've just made a statement that Christ said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For the first time, I believe, ever in all his existence, he looked at the Father and the Father had his back turned to him. But how about you and I? When we pass, ain't not a single solitary one of us sitting here this morning. If you know Christ as your personal Savior, his back will not be turned when you die. You won't be like his son was. Look at this. You know, the beggar was lying at the rich man's gates, dog licking his sores, and he desired the crumbs from the rich man's table. Verse number 22 says that it came to pass that the beggar did what? He died and was carried by the angels. Where? Into Abraham's bosom. Did he die alone? No, he didn't die alone. Now, I want you to notice it says to Abraham's bosom. This is prior to the death, burial, and resurrection for our Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament saints went to Abraham's bosom. Old Testament saints did not have the Holy Spirit in them like we do in this dispensation of the grace. I believe with all my heart when I die, the Holy Spirit that's indwelling within me is going to have something to do with my transportation to the Father. But now I want you to look something else too. And it says the rich man died and was buried. I don't see much support to him, for him. The only support I see for him is that he got transported to hell. Because in verse number 23 it says, in hell he lifted up his eyes, been in torment, and had all his faculties, and we've talked about that before. But I want you to flip over now to Acts for just a moment. I want you to look at another occasion. In Acts chapter number 7, you remember a gentleman called Stephen, a martyr. How about his journey? Chapter number 7 of the book of Acts, and we look at number 54. And he just laid it on them about their belief. In verse number 51, he said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, and here do not always resist the Holy Ghost as your father did, so do ye. And of course, they jumped on him. And he said in verse number 54, for the sake of time, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And they gashed on him with their teeth. But he being full of the Holy Ghost, full of what? Holy Ghost. You and I got the Holy Ghost. So he got the Holy Ghost with the dispensation of grace. See, this is after the resurrection of Christ. He said he looked up steadfast into heaven. He looked where? He looked up. He looked up where? He looked to heaven. And when he looked to heaven, what did he see? He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. That's a pretty good view when death is staring you in the face. That's a pretty good view when you are taking your last breath and the heavens open up. And you see that one who has suffered, bled, and died for you. And you see him standing or sitting there saying, welcome home, my child. That's a pretty good place to be when your last breath is coming. And he said, they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was what? Saul, who we now know as Paul. And they stoned Stephen. And what was Stephen doing? Calling upon the Lord and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had thus said this, he fell asleep. I said sometime I'm going, I don't believe I've ever done it in the sanctuary lessons, but I said I was going to do it again on the last phrase in this verse. He fell asleep. Had to do with our physical body when we die and how God perceives our physical body. Christ died alone for you and me. But he don't let that happen to his children. We do not die alone. And I've got not halfway through the lesson and our time's gone. Now I don't know what I'm going to do next Sunday. Lord willing, I'll probably pick up where I am now. Because there's a few more events that I want us to be sure that we look at during his crucifixion and his resurrection. God bless you and thank you for being with us today and listening to God's word.